Hey, we got the Wilson and Rush podcast, NBA edition. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot of the Heat and Spurs. We're going to talk about CP3 and Dwight Howard. Where do we think they're going to land? And we're going to talk about what's going on in the NBA with these coaches setting a lot of milestones with their franchise, and they're looking for jobs. We got Steve Rush here again. Shane, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I can't complain.
T-Will, how you feel?
I'm good, Stefan. How about yourself, man?
I can't complain, man. Ain't nothing like a beautiful Saturday talking some hoops, man. Can't complain about that. But let's get right into it, man. I mean, the Spurs and Heat game one. It was a really good game. Came down to that fourth quarter, and it looked like it was a little too much of Tony Parker in the fourth. But real simple, basic question. We'll start with T-Will on this one. Are the Heat in trouble?
You know what, Fine? That's a great question, but I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to go with yes. I mean, this is the NBA Finals. This is it right here. You know, we got two powerhouse teams going at it. I don't think the Spurs played their best game in game one, you know, but they still found a way to squeak out that victory. You know, a lot of signs just point to the Spurs doing all of those small things well, Fine. You know, like they shot 80% from the free throw line. They only have four turnovers as a team, and we're talking on the road.
You're
correct. You know, while they were overcoming some of the other things like being out-rebounded on the offensive glass and overall, you know, the Spurs, you know, they lost the first two quarters when it came down to it. They tied in the third, and they just hung around in that fourth quarter, you know, that championship cloth they're made of. They just pulled that thing out. You know, I think the Spurs team, I think they're hungry with those veterans who won those titles, you know, early on in their career, and they might not have appreciated as much then. You know, but now, you know, they realize the importance and appreciation of this NBA title, you know, and having these 9 days off, you know, in between series and things like that. You know, gave them time to prepare and game plan for Miami. And most importantly, for an older team, gave them time to physically, you know, get better for this series. And I kind of do think the Heat are in trouble.
See, Rush, T-Will bring up some good points. But now, do you think when we say they're in trouble – now, the Heat did come off, we got to keep in mind, they came off a physical seven-game series. Now, are they in trouble, or was it one of those situations where they said, hey, let's get game one out the way and get 2-3 days off and make sure that we win game two on our court? But do you think they're in trouble?
Well, generally, I'd agree with you, but this is the NBA Finals. They should know that they got to bring it every game. They're not playing the Bulls. They're not playing the team to where – they can lose a game, and we know that they're going to win the series. They're not playing they're not playing an average team. They're playing the best team out the West. I believe they're in trouble, honestly, because this is a team that has been there. They've won before, and they find ways to win. The good teams find a way to win. The Heat have to play a perfect game to beat them. You know. Granted, the Spurs didn't play well. The Heat didn't play well. If the Heat play a perfect game and Dwayne Wade in the perfect world has 20-plus, yes, I'll agree that the Heat will win the series, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Chris Bosh is the missing man. We don't know what's going to be with him. And granted, LeBron is playing out of his mind, but when your role players aren't hitting shots and they're forcing you to hit shots and you're not, I mean, you're in trouble. Granted, the Heat did lose game one last year in the finals and ran off four straight, but they didn't have Greg Popovich on that sideline either.
No, they didn't. See, the thing is, I believe they're in trouble is because Tony Parker did too much dictating, and he did whatever he wanted to do. Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers, it's not going to work on Tony Parker. He comes off a lot of ball screens, so I understand they don't want to put LeBron James on him the whole game. But I believe that they should put him on him. You know, LeBron James is in his prime. You know, he can guard a tough player on the defensive end and still not allow his offense to hurt the team. So, but T, I want to go back to you on this one here. Now, Tim Duncan, you know, he's an older guy. He's a legend, one of the best power forwards to ever play. Now, he scored 20 points, and I believe he brought down 14 boards. Now, do you think that this series, that he can put up numbers like that every single game.
Well, I think if Duncan has to put up numbers like that every game, Duncan will put up numbers like that every game. But the thing about Tim Duncan is he's one of the most unselfish champions to ever play the game. Because if Tim Duncan can, if he has to go out there and score two baskets, if his stat line is 4 points, 14 rebounds, a couple blocks, he'll take that every game. He's very unselfish. If his teammates are hitting on the offensive end, he'll do his best to rebound. He'll do his best on the defensive end. So he's very unselfish. And yes, but if he has to go out there and score 30 and 15, he'll do it. He's done it before. And he's also taken a back seat and let others go out and score. And he stepped his game up on the defensive end where it really matters also.
Right. Now see, Rush, if you look at LeBron James' numbers, 18, 18, and 10. That's very impressive. But of course, he lost the game. But so here's the thing though. He took 16 shots though. But that's what you can look at the game plan. When he got the ball on the block, it was three guys running at LeBron. And it was kick it out. You have to make a 3-point shot. Now, do you think LeBron if sees that on tape and he's going to get it in the post and just do a move real quickly so he can finish at the bucket? Or do you think you'll see that same type of mentality, kick it out to the shooters, live and die with that open three?
First half, yes. I believe because LeBron's a very unselfish player. He wants to get his guys going. That was evident in the closeout game last series. He wants to get his guys going, wants to get them motivated. Now, if he sees that's not working, he will force the action. He will take those shots, whether it be the block, whether it's on the wing. No matter where it's at, if he sees those guys aren't hitting, I believe he's going to take the onus upon himself this game and will them. Even though he had a triple-double, I don't want to say he has to do more, but that assist line may drop and then those points may go up.
Okay. I agree. I think he has to be more aggressive because if I'm Greg Popovich, I'm saying – at the end of the day, if he's got 16 shots at the end of the game, we probably won that game, okay? But before we get into the keys and really look at game two, is I want to ask you both this question, and we'll start with you, T. Will. Do you think that this is a must-win game for the Miami Heat? And the reason why I ask that is because the Miami Heat can play anywhere. You know, they can play anywhere. So that's not a problem. You know, they have to win at home. Because they can play on the road. But if you look at the finals format, the 2-3-2 format, is this a must-win game, T-Will, for the Miami Heat?
Well, that's a great segue because you just took the words out of my mouth. I can't remember ever hearing anyone say, you know what, this is a must-win game in game two. But at the same time, this is a must-win game for the Heat in game two. This is a must-win game. You don't want to go to San Antonio down 0-2 with playing them on their home court three straight games. I mean, you just don't want that. And that's worst-case scenario for Miami. And to me, I really do believe that LeBron James will be in danger of getting swept twice in his career in the NBA Finals by the San Antonio Spurs if he goes back to San Antonio down 0-2.
And the heat that this man will take if he gets swept would be unbelievable. But see, Rush, I'm gonna keep it real simple for you. Is a game two out of seven game series, is this a must win for the Heat?
Yes, it is. I mean, you gotta look. They gotta come out and make a statement tomorrow. Basically, okay. It's a must win from a confidence point for those shooters on that Miami Heat team. If they get going, that can translate into who knows what when they get to San Antonio. If they're still shooting the ball like they did last game, then, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and they have three games at home. You go down 2-0, and they have three games at home. You know, so, and you're not playing, like I said, you're not playing an average team. You're playing champions. You know, granted, the Thunder did do it last year. The Thunder went down 2-0 to them and stormed back. But, you know, it's a different year, different team. You know, you can't say because they went up 2-0 last year and lost, they won't do it again. This is the finals.
Yeah, I think for them to go down 0-2 and look at three straight games in San Antonio, I think this is a must-win. it'll take a lot of mental toughness for the Miami Heat to go down 0-2 and still expect to win this series. So let's get into, since we're talking about game two, let's just get into some keys from each team. And T, we'll start with you, and we'll give you the Spurs. And, you know, just give us some keys and what we're looking for in game two to try to put their foot down and put a stranglehold on this series and go up 2-0.
Well, realistically, to go up 2-0, first it starts with Pop, you know. I don't think Pop will do it, but he has a reputation of resting his guys. I don't think he's going to rest them game two. But the only thing they really have to do fine is really they have to come out and continue to play their brand of basketball. You know, continue to run their offense, you know, and make the Heat defend, play that defense for the majority of the shot clock. Just grind it out, you know. And offensively, they must get Tim Duncan the ball in the post, you know, as a scorer. Or get him the ball in the high post where he can be a scorer and a playmaker. He's one of the best passing big men in NBA history. You know, Tony Parker, he's going to be consistent. You know, he's going to consistently get in the paint. And he also has to pick his spots in the fast break game. Because the Spurs aren't a big running team, but sometimes Tony Parker gets out, you know, and he runs himself. He has to just pick his spots wisely. You know, and the Spurs, they arguably have, you know, two of the best young role players in the league. We're talking about Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. You know, Danny Green, sharpshooter, rarely misses, and he's also playing some defense. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's going to check the best player on the other team with success because the help defense that's around him, you know, with the Spurs and that they have, gives him that confidence to check a D. Wade or LeBron James. You know, offensively, you know, he gets his baskets off the glass and he sits in the corner, you know, knocks down a few threes when the ball is kicked out to him. And not just that about those two role players. These guys, they own that role. They know their role. They love it. They own it. And that's the difference between these two role players and a lot of other role players in the league.
I definitely have to agree with that. I think that their team defense is so underrated. I mean, you look at the difference with LeBron James, T. When they played against the Pacers, he got the ball on the block and they let him play one-on-one. I still don't understand that. But you see when he catch the ball against the Spurs, it's more of a team effort. So see, Rush, I mean, what do the Heat have to do to make sure that they tie this series up going down to that Riverwalk?
Well, the Heat have to figure out how to defend Tony Parker on these high pick and rolls and on these sideline pick and rolls. You know, he kills you by getting into the paint. He's probably one of the best guards I've ever seen using a high pick and roll. He'll go one shoulder. He doesn't have it there. He'll go the other shoulder. You go under, he's going to shoot it. You try to go over, he's going to split that and get into the paint. So they have to figure out when LeBron James is going to check him, because he's going to have to check him at some point in this game. Don't wait until the last 2 minutes. You may have to put him on there. Like you said, why not start him up there early? Why not start him there third quarter? You know, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green are good role players, but, you know, you're wasting the best player in the NBA checking him on the wing, because that's primarily where Danny Green sits. Kawhi Leonard may slash, but you're kind of wasting them. They're going to need production out of D. Wade. You know, you don't know what you're going to get because of that knee. So, but they need him. They need him this game. And they just have to figure out how to hit shots again. You know, it's simple. You know, if you're getting open looks, that's what you're there for. That's what these role players signed here for. That's what Mike Miller's there for. That's what Shane Battier's there for. That's what Ray Allen is there for. They're going to have to hit these open shots because Pop is going to give it to them. They're going to have open shots all day. It's going to be hands in the paint on LeBron as soon as he touches it. So those guys are going to have to hit shots, basically, and they're going to have to get out in transition.
Right. Those are some good keys. But what I'm looking for in this game to see the adjustments that Coach Spo makes. And what I mean by that is last series, they did a great job of trapping the on balls of George Hill. Now, you can't do that with Tony Parker. As you see, they tried to do that. He had no turnovers. He's going to make the right decision off the on-ball screen. But now if you go under, he's hitting that jump shot. So it's like pick your poison. So I can't wait to see how they guard those on balls. I got to agree with you on that one, C-Rush. But we'll get into our next question here. And a lot of times in professional sports, when you are the favorite and you're supposed to win a championship and you don't get it done, sometimes they just blow the team up and they start trading pieces. Now, if for some reason the Miami Heat comes up short, we'll throw this one to you, C. Rush, first. If they come up short for some reason, do you think one of the big three will be traded?
Well, seeing as LeBron and Chris Bosh have an opt-out year next year, it's a strong possibility if they don't. They won't let either one of them walk. And Dwayne Wade's career is, I don't want to say it's in the twilight, but like I said, we don't know what he's going to get. I'm not sure how you can go about trading them because of the contract situation, but I'm sure Pat Riley, he's a basketball genius. He can figure it out. It's not complete panic breakdown because it's hard to find three players that caliber together. Would I blow it up? No. I would find better, younger role players to go around them, but I can't blow it up right now. Maybe next season, depending on how it's going, if it's rumors that somebody's going to opt out, but I still highly doubt it.
Now, T. Will, I throw this one to you now. Now, you know Pat Riley. I think we all can agree that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Now, one thing that I think that if you can move maybe a Chris Bosh to get someone that actually plays in the paint and get some more players to make the team deeper, I personally think that they could actually be better. But T, do you think that they'll blow this thing up if they don't win a championship, or do you say, hey, we'll give it another year?
Well, to be honest with you, I think when you guys say blow it up, I think it's easier said than done. You know, because, I don't know, to me, it would kind of be like the obvious thing to do was like, you know what, let me move a few pieces. Because like C-Rush said, you know, bring some more role players in, this, that, and the other. But the thing about it is, you're not bringing in any better role players than what you have right now when you have these three guys under contract. You know, C-Rush talked about opting out. Saying, let me tell you something. That's not even an option for Chris Bosh. Nobody else is paying him after this. $19 million he's making next year. Nobody's paying him this $20 and $22 million. Those 2 years he has player options. You know, he's not even thinking about opting out. He's not going to get $42 million from any other team in the NBA for 2 years. I promise you that. That's not even an option for him. Chris Bosh is not going anywhere. The Miami Heat aren't going to be able to trade him. You know, they're not going to be able to trade him because him and LeBron are making the same amount of money. Is any team in the NBA about to pay Chris Bosh the same money that LeBron is making? No, not if you're not the Miami Heat. So my thing is, you know, there won't be any moving pieces as far as Chris Bosh go. He's not going anywhere. He's pretty much going to be in Miami. Then you have to look at D Wade. I mean, he makes a tad bit less than Bosh and James. You know, but he makes a little bit less, but at the same time, it's a little bit different value. You know, because D Wade has been in that number one position before, leader of a team, taking his team to the promised land, things like that. So my thing is, some GMs may look at D Wade now as being a number two and he's settling into that role. And it's like, okay, do I want to make this guy the face or leader of my franchise now when he's already become a number two and he's already taking the back seat? I don't think a lot of GMs are going to take that gamble. You know, so, and we're not even going to talk about trading LeBron because now we're talking about wasting our listeners' time and things like that. So, I think when it's all said and done, the big three will remain the big three in Miami for the next few years. I don't think any of those pieces are going anywhere. Not because they don't want to trade them. I just don't think they had the moving parts to trade them.
Okay. I mean, but hold on for a second, though, T. Well, let's talk about that trading LeBron. Now, let me say this now. Ever since that LeBron James went and Cleveland Cavaliers basically got, you know, a bag of M&Ms for him, now all of a sudden GMs are like, okay, if you're not signing an extension, we're shipping you out. You know, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwight Howard. Now, because when the season starts next year or even this summer, they're going to put the sheet on the table for LeBron James. And if he starts to say, hey, I'm not going to sign it, I'm going to wait till the summer, do you kind of just cross your fingers, T. Will? I'll throw this back at you. Do you just cross your fingers and say, "Woo, we hope we sign him back," or do you say, "Well, I don't want to be left out in the cold with an older Dwayne Wade, with this Chris Bosh, and maybe we're not even a top seed in the East anymore? Or do you just, you know, you cross your fingers and say, hey, let's hope we can sign them back?
Well, you know what? Certain players in the NBA, and we do have, you know, superstars. Maybe a guy like Chris Paul. Maybe if it was a situation like where, you know, do we, you know, wait and see, or do we try to see what we can get for him? I may try to see what I can get for Chris Paul or something like that, or Deron Williams or Derrick Rose, maybe, you know, if it was that type of situation. But when you're talking LeBron James, that may be one of those situations where you may have to sit on that thing and for him to sit back and just say, you know what, I'm going somewhere else. Because to me, to trade the best player in the world, that's just a rough one. I mean, it seemed like you almost have to take that gamble to make him leave. I mean, because I just don't think you can trade him away.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade him either, but I mean, the NBA is the world, not, you know, we're not getting anything for some of these superstars, so it's better off to ship them off and at least get something back. Because, I mean, I agree, you're not going to get the right value for LeBron James. It's just not going to happen. But see, Rush, do you just cross your toes and hope LeBron comes back? Or, I mean, what do you do? Do you think, you know, because Cleveland got the number one pick, they're going to be a better team, you think maybe he'll go back there? Maybe he's going to Brooklyn? I mean, what do you do?
It's tough, because if you take LeBron James off that team, they're like a six seed, six or lower, in my opinion, you know, because that's how valuable to that team that he is. Like you mentioned, with Carmelo, Chris Paul, Dwight, yeah, they're not LeBron. We know that. But do you wait and find out? He may be worth the gamble, but at the same time, if you take that gamble, you're not in the playoffs. You have an old Dwayne Wade. You have Chris Bosh, you know, so that's your team. I don't know what market value you're going to get, because I couldn't tell you a player that the Orlando Magic got for Dwight Howard. So, you know, the Nuggets kind of got lucky with theirs and had a couple good players, but, you know, it's a crapshoot either way, because you can get what the Nuggets got, or you can get whoever Orlando got, or you can just get nothing like Cleveland got.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. I think you kind of do just got to sit back and, you know, cross your fingers and toes and hope he comes back. But I mean, I think hopefully that's a conversation that, you know, maybe Pat Riley, because, you know, they always say he's a good communicator with players, even when he coached. So maybe that's a conversation that they have. Maybe LeBron says, hey, I'm not coming back. Maybe he tells him that, and maybe they do a sign and trade so the Miami Heat gets absolutely nothing. You know, that's what I wish more people would do, in my opinion. If you don't want to go back to the team, at least do a sign and trade, you know, so they're not, you know, high and dry. Okay, so before we get to our next question, we're going to throw a little freestyle round in. Okay, the way this is going to work is I'm going to read a question or a statement, and we're going to either give it, T-Will or either, or Shane Rush will either give it a thumbs up for an agreeance or a reason why they agree with it, or a thumbs down and a reason why they disagree with the statement. Okay, so we'll throw the first question to T-Will, okay? And the first question is, I don't know if you guys heard, but Dennis Rodman said LeBron James would basically just be an average player if he played in the late 80s and the 90s. So, T-Will, do you agree with that statement?
Well, you know what? From a skill set standpoint, I'm going to say no. I don't think LeBron physically wouldn't be an average player. I mean, the thing that I think where I think Dennis Rodman is coming from is, I think he sees LeBron James not having a killer instinct, and that's why I think he said he'll be an average player back in the 80s. Physically, I mean, LeBron is a specimen. I don't care what era you put him in, and with the skill set that he has now, I think any era you put him in the NBA, he'll always be an above average to great player.
All right, T-Will says Dennis Rodman is thumbs down on that statement, that he'll be more than average player. C. Rush, how do you feel? Do you give that statement a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Thumbs up. You know, this is a different type of basketball that we play now. You know, in the older guys, they always say it, but basketball is generational. Playing back then against the competition that they played against, the physicality they played against, it's a different era of basketball. You know, and he'll be a good player, But I don't think he'd be this dominant.
Yeah, I gotta go with T. Will on this one. You guys bring up some good points, but I mean that 250, 6'8", 250, 260, speed, strength, quickness. That's unbelievable. I just can't see him, you know, being an average player in the 90s or 80s, or even if you put him in the 70s with the short shorts. I just don't see him being average. Second question, we'll throw to you, C. Rush first. Is this a good idea for Kevin Durant to sign with Jay-Z for some representation? Is that a good idea? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. It can do a lot for his marketability. You know, he's already with Nike. He's already with Gatorade. You know, Jay-Z opens the doors in a whole different type of area. You know, so it's a good thing to see younger black males grouping together. You know, as far as like a power thing, so you never know what doors that could open. You know, you're talking about a guy who owned a piece of an NBA franchise. You know, you never know how it could turn out for you at the end of the day, because once he's done with basketball, who knows what other ventures that could open up to.
Absolutely. T. Will, I mean, thumbs up, thumbs down. KD, Jay-Z.
Thumbs down. I have to just totally disagree with his move. I mean, he's already with Nike. He's already with Gatorade. He has all the sponsorships that he needs at this point. To me, if I was living in Oklahoma City, and I know our biggest star, the guy who back we ride every year, he goes sign with Jay-Z, who's over there with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, is he trying to tell me something? I mean, should I look for him when it's free agency time to go sign in Brooklyn? I just don't think it was a good move for Kevin Durant to sign with Jay-Z. I mean, it's too many variables in there, and the media picks this thing apart all day.
Yeah, good points, T. Will. But I mean, as far as a business decision, putting basketball aside, I think it's great. I mean, everybody knows Jay-Z. He's a great businessman. I'm pretty sure he's going to be a solid business partner. And I think that Kevin Durant, he wants more recognition because he's in Oklahoma, like you said. You know, we got Chris Paul and Cliff Paul out in L.A. Doing all these commercials, and, you know, Blake Griffin still jumping over cars. And I got to be honest with you, T-Wheel, I think KD wants a piece of that action as well. Okay, so we'll go to our last and final question. We'll go back to T-Wheel first. Do you think baseball is more entertaining because of these scandals?
Oh, man. Well, yes. I mean, especially to the average fan. To the fan that may not know as much about baseball. Because, I mean, realistically, if you're not really into baseball and watching every pitch and watching 162 games a year, you want to see the home run. You want to see the long ball. You want to see a guy on the pitcher's mound throwing 105 miles an hour. Those are the things you want to see. You know, you don't want to sit down on TBS, watch a 1-0 game. You know, it was a great defensive game if you're the average fan. You know, I enjoy it personally, but the guys who really don't know too much about baseball, they want to see the excitement. And yes, I mean, that scandal is a part of baseball, but, you know, that's really what the fans want to see.
All right, T. Will gives it the thumbs up. C. Rush, how you see this?
Thumbs down. If I wanted scandal, I'd watch a soap opera. I want to see baseball. You know, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played baseball in over a year and a half in A-Rod. You know, who cares? You know, I don't care what A-Rod, if he's doping or not. You know, I want to see people who've done it the right way, like Miguel Cabrera. I like to see Justin Verlander throw a no-hitter. You know, I like to see that. You know, who's juicing, who's not juicing. I mean, they all could be juicing. I don't care. I just want to see good quality baseball.
Well, I got to be honest. I only watched the World Series. So the type of fan that T. Will was talking about, I thought he was talking about me personally. That's me. I want to see scandal. That's what I want to see. If I'm watching PTI and a baseball subject comes up, I got to be honest. I fast forward, okay? But now, this last week, I've watched every single one of them. I like this. I like the drama. I'm sorry, okay? So that's it for freestyle. I had a lot of fun with that. I gotta be honest. I had a lot of fun. Okay.
So that was nice. That was nice.
We're gonna jump.
Yeah, real nice.
We're gonna jump right back into the NBA, and we're gonna talk a little CP3 and Dwight Howard. First off, you know, let's start with CP3. Let's go to T. Will on this one. Where do you think he lands? And the thing is, You would think he got a good 4 or 5 situation with Blake and Griffin and maybe even getting George Karl as coach. But then, you know, about a week ago, you hear that, you know, he's upset with management. But where do you think CP3 lands, T?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's a few options out here for him. Fine. My first question is, how bad does CP3 want a ring? That's my first question. Because to be honest with you, the Heat has a team option on Mario Chalmers for next season. And if Chris Paul wanted to get a ring, would he take a huge pay cut from the $17 million he just made this season, you know, with the Clippers? And my thing is, when you look at the big marketplaces, you know, that point guard position or that star power may be lacking or may not be there. I mean, you look at what do you want to sign with the Lakers that's minus a Kobe Bryant and that's without a Dwight Howard, in my opinion, who I think will be departing. I mean, when you look at other major markets like Chicago Bulls, got D. Rose coming back. The New York Knicks, you know, they're $23 million over the salary cap. You know, Brooklyn already has Deron Williams. But if he wants to go to a team where he can be a leader on the floor and has the talent right now to compete for an NBA title, me personally, I would think he would look take some serious consideration in looking at the Indiana Pacers. You know, they already have great pieces in place. They got Danny Granger coming back. And with him coming back, I think Chris Paul, you know, with him being an old school kind of point guard kind of guy, he could lead the Pacers to the NBA Finals. And maybe, you know, you never know. He maybe could accomplish something Reggie Miller never could.
Wow, I never thought about him going to the Pacers. I mean, you just don't think a big free agent saying, hey, you know what, I want to play in Indiana. But I think when you look at it from a basketball standpoint, it does make sense. But, I mean, he's doing a lot of commercials now, C. Rush. I mean, do you see him saying that I'm playing for one of these LA teams. Things are going well for me right now. I'm staying in LA. Or do you see him as that ring chaser? Does he still want to go to New York? Well, I mean, what do you think CP3 is going to do, C. Rush?
I can't get a read on him. As a basketball fan, I love his game. I love his heart. I believe he's a great leader, but it's on him. Do I think that he'll re-sign with the Clippers? No, I don't believe he'll re-sign with the Clippers. I really do want to see him in a place like T. Will said in Indiana, a place where he can flourish. And the team is already established. The team is established. That 4-5 combo is if they can re-sign David West, it will be very nice. If Danny Granger comes back healthy, you know that's top team in the East almost, you know, but you know, the market has to play out. I'm not sure. I'm hoping for a sign and trade and something that we don't even know that may happen, but you never know. I just don't see him going back to LA with all the stuff that was coming out last week about management, this and that, you know, just, I hope he goes somewhere that's going to prove his talents, and hopefully he goes somewhere that he wants to win. It's not about getting money anymore. He's already in commercials, you know, but it's all on him. If he wants to win, he'll go somewhere and win. If he wants money, he'll end up in Dallas.
Yeah, you guys bring up some good points about the Pacers. I got to be honest, I never even looked at that option, but if you look at it on the court, I mean, that would be very nice, but I still personally think that he signs with one of the LA teams or he goes and plays with Carmelo Anthony. And those are the options that I think will take place, but you know, we'll see. Let's talk about Dwight Howard. I mean, the soap opera continues. It continues. T. Will, I mean, what, I don't even know if he knows what he's going to do. But what do you think Dwight Howard is going to do, man?
Well, you're right. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. But
I don't either.
But basketball-wise, what makes sense, in my opinion, you know, I know it's been some speculation, but I really do think going down, you know, down to Houston, you know, with the Houston Rockets, I think it would be a good pickup for that organization. You know, he'll join the talents of Harden, Lynn, Parsons. You know, I just think putting Dwight Howard in the middle helps speed up the developmental process, even for those young guys that they drafted last year. I mean, look at the Thomas Robinson from Kansas, Terrence Jones from Kentucky, Royce White from Iowa State. You know, it makes them a better franchise immediately in more than one way. You know what I'm saying? That puts them in certain discussions in the West, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, if he can go any other place, I think it might be back to L.A. you know, if it's not Houston. I think he'll go back to L.A., and like you said, the soap opera will just continue, you know. To be honest, I'm just not a big fan of Dwight Howard, man. To me, he's just so immature, he's not accountable for his actions, you know. And there are people around the world that would give anything to have his size, his skill set, you know, and all he does is, you know, complain and not go hard. I mean, to me, that's just so disrespectful to the game of basketball. You know what? But at the end of the day, how will he be rewarded? He'll be rewarded with a 9-figure contract from an NBA team, and that's the part that ticks me off right there.
So what you're saying is you wouldn't be trying to go with him to Red Lobster because he couldn't decide on what kind of shrimp he wanted. So that's what you're saying, basically.
Absolutely. And then we want to make a scene, you know, try to get somebody fired. He'd try to get our waitress fired, you know. I'm not with that. I don't believe in all that.
Hey, C. Rush, man, what you think going to happen, man, with Dwight Howard this summer, man?
Man, the past 24 months, he's gotten a GM and two coaches fired and not resigning either place. So I wouldn't want him because I'm going to lose my job. But the logical place is Houston, somewhere where he could play second fiddle. He doesn't – I don't think he has the mental makeup to be that guy, obviously, you know. Orlando fired a coach, fired a GM, said, hey, handpick this. I don't want to be here. Mike Brown coaches five games. I can't coach with him. Now I can't coach with D'Antoni. I mean, what does he want? I just make a new franchise and just let him pick the team and let him coach the team like Lenny Wilkins. But I just don't see any other fit other than one of the Texas teams, Dallas or Houston. Mark Cuban doesn't mind throwing money around. Maybe he can entice Chris Paul to come there and let those two. But he has to have somebody else on that team. You know, not a Kobe's different. Kobe will tell it like it is. But he needs like another younger player who's going to be the face, and he can just play second fiddle.
See, Rush, you talk about second fiddle, and a lot of people say, okay, he needs to be somewhere that's not a big market. See, but here's my problem with that, though, Shane. Because of what he did in Orlando, because of what he did now in L.A., Shane, I got to be honest with you. I don't care if he signs with the Milwaukee Bucks. The media is going to continue to be on top of him and continue wherever to go he goes to the next place, Shane. They're going to say, okay,
absolutely,
you better win here now. So I don't know, you know, people are saying that, you know, he can't make it in a bigger market. Wherever he goes, that's going to follow him because he better win. He's always picking where he's going, where he's getting traded to, what's going on. He better win. So I got to be honest.
It's not.
Go ahead.
It's a lose-lose situation with him. I mean, wherever he goes, he's not going to want to be there. So, I mean, do you keep signing him to one-year contracts? He's going to want a max deal. But like T said, you know, you're giving this dude a 9-figure contract. And, I mean, if you're looking at that as a coach, love Kevin McHale to death. If you sign for Houston, Kevin McHale may not be there in 2 years. So, you know, he's just a coach killer. You know, and I hate to say that for him, but it is. I don't know what to do with him.
Now, to close this up, now, I did hear a rumor last week. Now, this is one thing that I would like, and I would like to see this. Now, I heard a rumor that they may get together and they may go and play in Atlanta. Now, if they did that, I would like to see that. I personally would. Because I do want to see the East get better. Because in my personal opinion, I think the Miami Heat only played one playoff team this whole playoffs before they made the finals. And to me, I don't really like that. I don't like it at all. That's just my opinion. Okay. So, our final question of the day here is basically about what is going on in the NBA with coaches doing well, setting franchise records, overachieving, winning coach of the year, and they're looking for a job or they can't get an extension. C. Rush, what is going on in the NBA with that?
Darren Williams got Jerry Sloan fired. Dwight Howard, like I said, got a couple coaches fired. Rumor on the street is Chris Paul got Del Negro fired. Players are dictating what they want, you know, and ownership is either giving in to it or ownership doesn't know what they're doing. You know, a coach like George Karl, one coach of the year, he's looking for a job. Lionel Hollins took a Memphis team with losing Rudy Gay halfway through the season, only getting Tayshaun Prince back, and took them to the conference finals. You know, Del Negro set the records for most wins in Clipper history. He's looking for a job. You know, and it's tough because even if it's a what have you done for me now league, they're doing good and they're getting fired. You know, they have these elevated expectations for these coaches, and I don't know what they want. You know, basketball is one of the few sports where we know going in who's going to be where at the end of a season. And pretty much it turned out how most people thought it would, you know. So I don't know what these coaches are expecting, what they're wanting. They want them to turn water into wine. I mean, I don't know. It's terrible because they're not just changing the coaches' lives. They're changing the coaches' families' lives as well. You know, you're getting fired from your job and you're successful. You know, and it is tough. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
T. Will, please chime in. Because I'll be honest, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I can't wrap my head around this one. I don't understand it. I thought winning saved your jobs in professional sports. That's what I always thought. So give me some insight on this one, T-Will, please.
You know what? It's not too much insight to be had, Fine. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'll sit back and say it. How dare the Clippers franchise fire Del Negro? How dare the Nuggets fire George Karl? How dare the Grizzlies fire? How dare the Grizzlies fire anybody? Hollins? I mean, was this the best season that the Grizzlies have ever had? How dare? It just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. It's, you know what it is? It's these, and now these franchises are becoming spoiled with a little bit of success. You know, the Denver Nuggets, now they've had some success over George Karl's tenure, over his 8 years that he was there. They've had plenty of success. You know, they had some first-round exits. They also had some deep runs into the playoffs. You know, I guess they want more. Look at your roster. You know, let's be honest with each other. Does our roster reflect the NBA Finals team? You know, and Shane said they want these coaches to make water out of wine. These coaches are winning games and are overachieving and are losing their job. I have no explanation for it. All I know is this is one of the highest turnover jobs. It has to be in the country when you look at it percentage-wise, year in and year out. You know, I'm still baffled how the Grizzlies fire anybody. You know, I mean, I just don't understand how they fire anybody, you know. And then the Clippers, how long have they been so bad? They got the nerve to fire Del Negro. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, they've went years. You could probably string about 3 or 4 seasons together, add their win totals up from the past, and it probably hasn't met the amount of wins that they got this year. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of. These presidents are getting spoiled with a little bit of success, and they don't know how to deal with it. It's a foreign area for them.
Yeah, that's I don't get it. I'll be honest. The only good thing about the NBA is they recycle all their coaches. They jump on each other's staffs, so they don't have a problem finding a job. So in that aspect, I guess that's the one positive. But I always thought that winning saved your job. But here's the thing. Like you said, look at the roster. Do we have a championship roster? Is that what we have? And only one team can win an NBA title. Only one. So we can't just fire the other coaches in the league every single year. You know, you can still overachieve. You know, and what guys are looking at is Coach Karl, Coach of the Year. He jokingly said, but I think he was serious. He jokingly said after he won an award, he doesn't know if he really wants to win it because within 2 years, the coach that usually wins it is fired. He didn't even coach the next season.
Take a week.
I don't understand it, but, you know, it is what it is. So that's going to wrap it up for us. T-Will, you have fun, man, because I know I had a blast, man.
Man, you know what? I always have a blast when I get together with my Bloom Street guys, man. It's nothing like it. We just bring the conversation from the bedroom to the internet. That's all we doing.
I see Rush, man. You enjoy yourself, man?
I had a blast today. Had a ball.
All right, so last time, I got to apologize. I did not give out our email address. Our email address is wilsonrush@gmail.com. Once again, it's wilsonrush@gmail.com. If you got any questions, If you got any topics that you want us to speak about, we try to talk about the current events that's going on. But anything that you want us to hit on, we'll give you a shout out, and we'll bring the topic up. I had a good time. We'll see you guys next time. And once again, we really do appreciate you listening to our podcast. Always, as you know, representing 7 Mile, we out.